The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We have reached the final hour of our program, and we appreciate you joining us. Michael Eaves will be here in a couple of minutes. You know him well. He's also a devoted UK supporter, and we thought it might not be a bad time to check in with him. Let's get back to the calls here at 855-242-7285. Rick is in North Carolina. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. I called you last time when Leo called. I'm going to give you something positive. I don't see how I'm positive. I don't see how you can put up with callers like him. But you do a good job.
Well,
he's unbelievable.
I mean, he's passionate, and I really think he should be heard. I wish we could figure out a way to talk without, talking over one another, but that's not possible.
Amen. And like I said, I called a few days ago when he called. Glenn Gilbo is a very good writer. I don't always agree with what he writes, but he's a guest columnist in Tiger Rag, the LSU magazine I get.
Right.
And I always enjoy his column, whether I agree with it or not, but don't take it personally. And Ed Orgeron's the same way. I'd love to sit down and have a bowl of gumbo and a beer with him. But if he doesn't start winning, he's in big trouble.
Yeah, and I used to be a columnist, so I would have the people hating me because they didn't agree. But, Glenn's done this for many, many years.
Oh, yeah.
He's highly respected.
Yeah, like I said last time, I went to LSU School of Journalism, and one of our assignments was we'd work for the college paper, the Daily Reveille, for a semester, and I covered sports, particularly baseball, and I enjoyed it, but it's not an easy thing to do.
Well,
you talk to different people, and some of them like it, some of them don't, but you try to write the column and do your job. I did that back in the dark ages when we used typewriters.
I remember, Rick, listen, I've done a lot of interesting things, and certainly I'm blessed to be doing what I'm doing, but my newspaper days are some of the great memories of my life, because there's nothing quite like it. And now there really isn't anything like that, because the newspaper industry is completely gone underwater.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And like I said last time, I grew up with some great sports writers in Baton Rouge. There was Dan Hardesty and Bud Montet and Sam King, and then Peter Finney wrote for the New Orleans.
Peter Finney was
one of my, a great one.
I had a chance to sit next to him once at a game, and one of the nicest, kindest people I've ever met.
Mm-hmm. I have heard that, and he'd be a guest on some of the LSU radio broadcasts, but he covered every kind of sport in the world.
Oh, he was brilliant.
He was just a super writer.
Yeah, I know.
But tell Leo he needs to take a chill pill.
No, but and you mentioned Sam King, who I covered LSU briefly, and he was always just, that's the cigar in his mouth. I mean, he was just a character out of a movie. He was fantastic, though.
He was a good writer, but like I said, Leo needs to walk in my own shoes, and it's nothing personal. Like I said, Ed Orgeron, I can sit down and have gumbo and a beer,
but that's
he's
going
to have to get
about
busy, and I'm looking at this schedule after Kentucky, Florida, Ole Miss, Bama, and Arkansas. I mean, I don't see much hope there, but we'll see.
No, I don't know anyone, and I'm glad we're having this conversation. I don't know anyone who's rooting against Ed Orgeron, the man. He's beloved, but that does not matter. It really doesn't, mm-hmm. And I hate to say that to those of you who still have some idealism left in your DNA, which I used to. But
I hear you. Well, I grew up with when Charlie McClendon was there at LSU, and he was a great coach, a great fella, but they finally let him go. He couldn't beat Bama, and he had some problems.
I covered his firing in my brief tenure. Yes, and he was a lovable character.
But he
think about this, and in the late 70s, he got fired for one reason. He couldn't beat Alabama. Does that sound familiar?
That sounds familiar up to now. But anyway, I don't know how you keep doing it, and you're keeping on keel, and maybe you could find a little prescription drugs to help you out with somebody like Leo.
Well, in about an hour and 20 minutes, I'm going to see somebody who could probably give me some really good counsel on prescription drugs, so I'll see what she has to say.
Okay. That sounds good. Hang in there, Paul. We enjoy your show. Take care.
Yeah, I mean, I do not allow my. Well, she doesn't. It's not. I don't allow that. Doctors do not prescribe for their spouses, but I may make an exception this time. I'm just gonna have the pillbox sitting next to me, and if I see Leo's name, I'm popping it. Let's continue. Yeah, what can I say? The guy's driving me crazy. Chris is next in Georgia. Chris, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great.
Hey, Paul, I just want to talk about this Alabama and Texas A&M game that's coming up this Saturday.
Okay.
All right. With Alabama, you know, we know that, you know, they kind of have, like, injuries on, you know, the defensive side. But with Alabama coming in to Texas A&M, what would be the basically outcome of Alabama winning this game? Downright, will it be straight offense? Or will it be special teams or a combined of defense, special teams, and offense all together?
Yeah, I think this game for Alabama is about the defensive side of the ball because Texas A&M cannot manufacture many points. And, you know, going up against an elite defense like Alabama, I don't know where they go. So I think that dictates everything for Alabama.
Okay. Well, Paul, that's pretty much the only thing that I had to say. Other than that, I enjoyed your show, Paul, and I always watch it pretty much every day.
Well, thank you very, very much. It has been an interesting one, and I don't want this next caller taking shots at my good friend, the shrimp boater, the shrimp captain, Ed Osherine.
How long do you think it'd take Leo to punch me if he and I were sitting by each other?
Yeah, Leo does not sound like a young man, but I don't think it would stop him from coming after you.
No, my first shrimp boat comment, and he does. But, you know, he really doesn't have that industry to fall back on right now because Grand Isle and Fouchon took a heck of a hit by this last hurricane. And so he better tighten up on his coaching. But I wasn't even going to call about Coach O, but thanks for bringing him up.
Yeah, but Squirrel, remember something. He's got a $17 million buyout. That will buy you a lot of shrimp.
You can buy a lot of shrimp for $70 million, I can imagine. But
I just want a buyout. Can somebody give me a buyout?
Yeah, I would take a buyout.
I'll leave today if you give me that kind of buyout.
But I heard your call earlier with Matt, and you know, he said something about just for lunch, and I'd really never even heard of that. I looked it up. You know, it costs $2,000 to $4,000, according to Google, to join that site. It's not
so
free.
Tell me what happens for just for lunch.
I don't know. I never got further. I just Googled
it.
That is a
highfalutin dating service?
It's a high-end service, and Matt might want to avoid that. I think he needs just to let women go for a while because when you're not looking for one, is generally when you can't beat them off of you with a stick. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever happened to like Christian Mingle?
I know. Well, I think you should get a puppy.
I was telling Urban Meyer about that site just the other day.
Christian Mingle. You should get him a puppy and, like, walk in the park in the evenings. And I think he's going to meet girls if he does that. But I'm getting to Leo, though. Leo's like a Louisiana's version of Jim is what I like about him. And speaking of Jim, some great Jim calls yesterday and today. But I thought, yesterday you seemed really harsh. You seemed aggressive with your questioning about his age yesterday.
Well, I just thought it was only fair. Since Jim was acting like that I'm significantly older than him, and I just wanted to have that. I just wanted to lengthen that conversation.
Jim's 45.
Okay. Well, then I am.
If you look at his new Twitter handle, it says Sapient. I mean, he's got the number 45 in there.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's his age. I mean, a lot of people put the year they were born, but I really think it's his age. And did he open up yesterday's call with aloha?
I think he did.
That was like a subliminal message, I believe.
I think he was watching Hawaii 5-0 at the time.
I think he was.
Book him, Dano.
Book him, Dano. Great show today. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Thank you very much. And I don't know why I always find that guy so funny. D is up next in Georgia. Hello, D.
Hey, Paul. Been a long time, but I've been listening to you almost every day.
Thank you so much.
I was calling and listening to your show. Seems like all this NIL conversation is kind of faded by the wayside.
Yeah, I thought it was going to ruin college football.
It always has been. The transfer portal is going to be the biggest obstacle to college football more so than NIL. That basically is going to take care of itself. What do you think?
Well, I think the transfer portal is the biggest cause of frustration right now in college football, because players so easily go to it, and most, unfortunately, don't find anywhere to go. NIL has not really had an impact yet. Players are making some money. Good for them. I've yet to hear how it's a distraction. Now, the question I have about NIL is coming up. We're going to get to a point in the season when things start to go haywire for a couple of clubs. I'm talking about those who aren't winning. And then what happens? But that's still to be determined. We appreciate all of your calls. We have a guest coming up, and then back to the calls. We're here on a Wednesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. Always great to welcome our friend Michael Eaves to the program, especially while the Kentucky Wildcats are doing so well. You're sporting it tonight. How are you, Michael?
I'm good, man. My team is, like, exceeding expectations. We just had a big win over a team that has given me trauma for 20-something years, Paul. So I am good today. I am good.
Before we get too deep into it, and obviously we want to, we had something happen a couple of minutes ago that was quite extraordinary. I want you just to sit tight and listen to this phone call.
I mean, I live in Alabama now, but originally from Kentucky. I was Michael's high school English teacher for 2 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Had him as a junior in academic junior English and in advanced placement senior English. I just wanted you to give him a message.
Yes.
So proud of him, proud for him. Michael is from a small, small town in western Kentucky, and he has just done marvelous, marvelous things. He was a wonderful student, wonderful person, came from a great family, and I'm just really, really proud of what he's done. And please pass that along to him.
We have done that. That's pretty extraordinary.
That was Miss Seymour. She did. I took English and English Lit for her my last 2 years. I can't remember the last time I've seen Miss Seymour or talked to Miss Seymour. Wow, I was not expecting that at all. That's That's really cool. I appreciate those kind words. That's awesome.
Well, we mentioned you would be on, and she called, and we just wanted to make sure that you heard that, Michael. We're heading the show is heading on Friday, and of course the SEC Nation show on Saturday to Lexington. We've been there
as you should be.
we've been there through some trying times when rumors were around and coming off of losses, but give us a preview of what's to come, because the Cats are on a roll.
Look, we are a basketball school. We are a basketball state. That goes without saying. But when you are in the SEC, there is this inner desire to be legitimate in football as well, right? Especially for Kentucky, because we've been so dominant in basketball, we want to be more than respectable in football, and for a long time we haven't been. And so for the fan base there to have this opportunity to have that win over Florida in a game which is typically, Paul, as you well know, a game that Kentucky would traditionally lose, right? Even me watching this game at a restaurant here in Connecticut, until the final horn, the final whistle, I should say, on that fourth down play, I just assumed Florida was going to score, tie the game, go to OT, and Kentucky was going to lose, because that is the trauma that we have as Kentucky fans. But this team is different. We've got a great running back. We've got a tremendous receiver who's going to play in the NFL. And our quarterback is legit as well. So the offense is there. Defense has not been the issue for the most part through the years, right? So I think we're in a solid place on both sides of the ball right now, which typically we haven't been able to say very often. And if you look at the schedule right now, if Kentucky beats LSU this weekend, I'm going to go ahead and give the win to Georgia after that, okay? I think they are definitely the second-best team in the country behind Alabama. But if Kentucky beats LSU, loses to Georgia, I don't think there's another team on their schedule where Kentucky would be considered the underdog. So if Kentucky can go through the whole season with just one win and play in a really good bowl game, oh, the fan base would go nuts. And the thing is, as you look at the schedule, that is on the minds of Kentucky fans going into this LSU game. I promise you, every single fan who's going to be there at Kroger Field is thinking, if we beat LSU, we could run the table after Georgia and have just one loss. That's what's at stake. And that energy, Paul, is going to be felt as soon as you arrive in Lexington later this week. I promise you that.
And I'm curious because, that Florida game has been a chamber of horrors, and
yeah,
we
so
see it every year, and the one exception, of course. But it getting over that, I'm curious as a fan and somebody that's attached to the school like you are, what do you think it will do?
I think, well, look, it's going to do more for the fan base than the players, okay? Because let's be real. The kids that are playing on this team now don't remember the Chris Doering, Danny Werfel play in 1993, right? So for them, like, there's been losses, but they haven't had the trauma. And the trauma is what is, you know, on the back, I would say in the back of every Kentucky fan's mind every time we play Florida, even when we're up. It's that trauma. Thankfully, these kids don't have that trauma. Mark Stoops doesn't have this trauma, right? So they're looking at Florida like, yo, we should beat this team. So they're going to LSU. They're not thinking about the game that they lost, you know, back in the day when Kentucky had the win and kick it off and they get the Hail Mary.
Woodruff, yeah.
Guy Morris gets doused. And yeah, they're not thinking about that because they don't remember that. Mark Stoops wasn't there for that. So they don't have the same trauma that the fans have, right? It's really for the fan base, Paul, to sort of get past this emotional rut we've been in with certain teams in this conference.
As you make your rounds all over the country, doing so many different sporting events, and let's say the conversation turns to Mark Stoops, I mean, to a lot of people, he is still Bob Stoops' brother. How would you describe him to people that do not really swim in the college football waters and know how great he has been in building this program?
I'm going to use someone else's description. I would not use their name, because they are someone people would know. Someone that I know described Mark Stoops as Bob Stoops with a personality.
That is
so, you know, like,
I
and
second that.
Look, I ask for with, you know, the people who represent my state and my alma mater is to treat the players well, represent the Commonwealth, and win. And Mark Stoops has done those things. He supported his players. He was there when they wanted to to march in downtown Lexington for Black Lives Matter. He was right there with them, even though the athletic director was not there. Mark Stoops was there. He treats these guys with respect. The guys who play for him want to play for him. They tell other players, you know, on recruiting visits, things of that nature, that he's a good dude. And for the most part, based on expectations, he has won. So for Kentucky, you have to be excited and appreciative of what Mark Stoops has done, with the caveat, Paul, that we probably won't be able to keep him. The more successful he is at this school, he will go somewhere else, and that is the reality of being a Kentucky football program.
Yeah, and I won't get into it, but, I mean, there his name, as you know, came up a couple of years ago for some big jobs, and yeah. It is going to really start coming up, and I nobody knows what a coach will end up doing.
But it should, though, Paul. Yeah. Paul, if he's successful at Kentucky, his name should come up. That's how it should be. So then the next Mark Stoops can come to Kentucky and do the exact same thing. Keep it pushing, and maybe you get to a point, let's say, you know, 10 years from now, that Kentucky job is a job you don't want to leave for a better job. But right now, it is a stepping stone job. That is the reality. But while he is there, yo, let's win some games. Let's go to a bowl game we're not supposed to go to. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't know if – and I'm curious what you think. If I've ever seen a coach who has built a program more painstakingly than he has had more roadblocks to get over, and now looks like he's finally heading toward daylight.
You know, the thing about Kentucky football is – oftentimes you're going to have to take one step back to take two steps forward. And the grind of that is hard. It's hard for the coaches. It's hard for the players. And not everyone is built for that. I understand it. But you're right. We've had so many instances in the past where, all right, looked like Kentucky's trending upwards. And then you'd have a terrible loss at Vanderbilt, or you would lose to a South Carolina team at home that you shouldn't lose to, or Missouri, or whatever the case may be. But Mark has stayed true to whatever his plan has been, and his staff, and, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to his staff, especially the one thing he's done, Paul, better than so many coaches preceding him have been able to do was recruit. He's recruited well, and he's also been very good in the transfer portal. You look at Robinson, Levis, two guys who were not supposed to be at Kentucky, ended up there, and you see what they're doing now. So the recruiting has gone through the roof compared to coaches in the past before him, and for me, that's always been the biggest hurdle. If you play in the SEC, it's hard to get a team, get a top flight player to go to the most northern team in the South. That's hard, but he and his staff have been able to do it over the last several years.
What a fantastic and fun conversation with Michael Eaves. Michael, you be well. We know you'll be watching Saturday night, and all the best to you. Congratulations on all the recent success you've had.
Appreciate it, Paul. Have fun in Lexington.
We will. Fantastic conversation with Michael. And we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Just listen to C right there. That remains one of my favorite quotes of the year, talking about his grandmother said she's watched the game three straight times and we win every time. That's the great part. Thanks for being here. We still have some time to go, and Harold is up next in Georgia.
Yes, sir, Paul. I was just wondering, do you really think Stetson Bennett is the guy in Athens? I mean, I know that JT is the guy, But do you really want Stetson to have the ball, you know, with a minute 30 left, you know, and Georgia's at their own 30, and you're at Auburn, or you're in Jacksonville, or you're in one of those tough road environments? I mean, do you really want Stetson to have that football, you know, if JT can't go in those games, or –
Well, I mean, Harold, I think that's a real challenge, and when we saw him last year behind against Florida and against Alabama, and it wasn't pretty. No, I think if you're Kirby Smart, you obviously want JT Daniel to be healthy, injury free, and carrying the football. Hey, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. Will is in Birmingham. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. I haven't spoken with you in quite a while, but I'm going to come right to the point because sure. I know there's many callers waiting to get on. I'm going to make a quick comment, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to your response. Since Kirby Smart's first season, I feel like there's been only one thing that has kept him from winning a national championship, and that's the combination of a quarterback and wide receivers at the same time that could pose a deep passing threat against a top-notch defense of a team with a good offense like Alabama at the same time. And I'm not convinced that they have that even now, even with their starting quarterback playing. I feel like their defense could keep them in the game with Alabama for a while. But the lack of that deep passing threat to stretch the defense vertically would come back to haunt them, and they would eventually lose the game. I hope you have a great evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, and I think it's a very astute point. Let's see if Red Dog agrees with that.
I'm glad Will from Birmingham's already thinking about the Bulldogs. Sounds like he's a little bit nervous, Paul.
Yeah,
I'm not even thinking about Alabama, honestly. I'm thinking about Bo Nix running around that pocket looking like a bug running into a bug zapper Saturday. Because if he runs around that pocket against that defense, our defense, he won't make it very long. But if he wants to talk about Kirby Smart, why they didn't win a national championship, if we'd have had that defense on 2nd and 26, I don't think Alabama would have made that play. So I personally don't think the University of Alabama can score more than 10 points against that defense. I don't. Maybe 14. So I don't care if it's Stetson or JT. You know, the Dogs are going to do it. Will from Birmingham, I'm glad you're worried about the Dogs. Legend, you'll be kissing a ring soon. Go Dogs.
Wow. Shots fired. At Legend. Let's see if he responds. Nick is right. Up next. Hello, Nick.
Hi. Who is this?
This is Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah, Paul, I was calling and suggesting that Dan Mullen and the athletic director, they brought him and gave him an extension and a raise to go. They need to both go. Florida doesn't need those two guys.
Nick. You're
and I'm a big booster. I've been watching the Gators. I'm 84 years old.
You can't be serious.
No, I am 84.
No, I'm not doubting your age. That's great. I'm doubting whether you're serious about wanting Dan and Scott Strickland to be gone.
Yeah, I want them both gone.
Okay, can you explain?
You don't give a guy a raise and a extension when he knows he wasn't that good anyway.
Well, I mean,
and Mullen has never beaten. He's 0-11 against Saban.
Do you mind telling me who has beaten Nick Saban?
Steve Spurrier.
Okay. That was in 2001
against Saban.
2 and 3 and maybe 10. Anybody else beaten Saban lately?
I haven't kept the record.
Well, I can tell you. I'll be more than happy to tell you.
I'm only interested in the Florida stuff.
Well, Urban Meyer beat Saban
I know, but Urban Meyer, to me, I didn't care for him because he was, what do you call it? He used to go, he went from school to school, and the material was already
there. Nick, I don't mean to be the University of Florida booster chairman here, but right. Urban Meyer did win two national championships in Gainesville.
I know, but still, he had the material that was there for him.
Well, he recruited that material.
No, he recruited later. I'm talking about when he first went there.
Well, yeah, but his first class included.
And he left us empty. He left us empty.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to win this argument, obviously. But I think you're being rather short-tempered on Scott Strickland, who also knew Dan Mullen at Mississippi State, where he was his boss there.
I know, but Scott Strickland, too, he's a buddy of Mullen. They both should go.
Okay. I got to tell you, Nick, I don't know what you did in your career, but you must have been one tough boss.
Right. I was a pharmacist for 70-something years, yes.
Well, that's a great profession, by the way.
Very honorable. I've been retired for 7 years.
Okay, I understand that.
I've been retired for 7 years.
Well, you had a good career, obviously. That's a fantastic profession. And,
yeah, thank you.
But I think you're being a little bit harsh on Mullen and
no,
Strickland.
No, first of all, in the position we are and the money they get, I've been a booster since 61.
Okay.
I have 8 season tickets. And it's a waste with these guys. We need really the one we need is really Spurrier.
Well, Steve's moved on.
I know it, but he would be great. He could step in right now and win the rest of the games.
So you're suggesting, and by the way, I believe Scott Strickland lives next door to Spurrier, so he could just go over there tonight and say, Coach, would you like to come back?
I know it, but Scott Strickland didn't do us a favor, give an extension to Mullen and also a raise.
Okay. Well, listen, Nick, you're a booster. You're entitled to your opinion. But
right, right.
I'm just a talk show host. I don't have a say in this matter.
No, I know, but I mean, we've been given a lot of money. They got a lot of money there, and Florida shouldn't be. In the position they're in.
Okay, well, listen, Nick, thank you for your phone call. We've had a couple of pretty angry Florida fans calling in tonight. That's not the first one who has expressed those views. I just was trying to get some clarification. Kevin is up next. Hello, Kevin. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing
long-time
well.
Listener, man. Got a question for you. It's kind of an unfair question, I think, in some ways. Do you think that Coach Heupel will have the same success that Lane Kiffin had his first year, even though Lane Kiffin had more talent at the University of Tennessee, hopefully not leaving?
Well, Lane, I believe he went, 7-8-5 or something like that. I mean, he had a pretty good – I thought Kiffin had a pretty good first year. It got sloppy at the end.
That's what I was getting at.
He lost a bowl game. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he'll have that much success, but I will say one thing. He's done the most important thing you have to do, and that's get people engaged and excited. And right now I think the excitement level for what Heupel is doing is extremely high.
Yes, and I agree. Like I said, think about what he took over. I mean,
he took over a disaster.
Left? Yes, man. It's crazy.
I mean, and I give him a lot of credit because if he hadn't done anything this year, I think – he would have been okay, but that was a big win Saturday. You know, looking good against Florida, beating Missouri, and really exposing Eli Drinkwitz's coaching staff. Frankly, it was embarrassing.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.